this summer, my family and I, we took a trip to Europe. And so it's my wife and I and our four children. It's relevant to their ages, I think, this story. I have a 19-year-old teenage boy, a 13-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a girl. 13 and 10-year-old girls and an 8-year-old boy. So we have a big crew.
So this is the summer of 2010?
Summer of 2010.
Okay.
We had been traveling by car through Austria, Germany, and Switzerland. From Zurich, we caught a plane to Paris. It was my wife's a retired Delta employee, airline employee. And
so you get all the flight benefits.
We're lucky in that way. Our plan was to catch the train from Zurich to Paris that night. We travel without plans. We just sort of shoot by the hip and see what happens. And we did not have hotel reservations in Paris that night because we didn't know when we were going to get to Paris. That was really part of the biggest reason why we didn't have hotel reservations
because
in Paris.
Because you're flying standby.
We're flying standby.
So you got a big crew, so it's hard.
And we have six of us, and so we're not going to split up. So it's all or none, and sometimes they might have one or two seats, and we'll just give them up until we can get all six of us on the plane. Makes it a little bit more difficult. It just turns out that we got lucky that night and were able to catch the last flight out of Zurich to Paris. And the flight got into Paris about 10:30 at night. I didn't have a phone that worked in Europe. Our phones here in America don't work in Europe for the most part. But I had my computer, my notebook computer. And I got on my computer. We just had landed in Paris and we're sitting in the airport. And my wife and I are saying, okay, where are we going to stay tonight? There's six of us. It's 10:30 at night. Where are we going to stay? Well, we were going to be in Paris for 3 or 4 days, and we wanted to stay down in where all the attractions are, near the Eiffel Tower and
so the Left Bank or somewhere right in that area if possible.
My wife and I have been there once before, so we had a clue of how to get around. And we knew that we took the metro, they call it, from the airport to downtown Paris area, that it would put us right where we want to be. So I get out my notebook computer, I type up Google Maps, type in hotels, discount hotels in Paris. I need six of us. Now that's not easy. In Europe, getting six beds late at night. My phone didn't work, but I got on Skype on my computer.
You had a headset with you.
It was just through my microphone on my notebook computer, and I started calling hotels on my Skype, and they'd get on the phone, and I said I need a hotel, a room, two rooms for tonight for six people. First couple says we don't have anything available. I think it was the third or fourth one I called. A gentleman in broken English says, I don't speak very good English, but yes, I have rooms. Just come on down, and I'll have a room for you. And I says, okay. So my wife and I get out our map, or we look at the map, and we look at the metro map to figure out which station we want to get off at to get to our hotel. I think my wife's eyes are deteriorating a little bit. Those maps are very difficult to see. They're really small print, and
she still has enough vanity. She won't put on reading glasses. Right. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, mine are worse than hers. Okay. So it was either her eye, and her eyes are better than mine. And so, she looks on the map. Says, "Okay, we need to get off on this stop to get to this hotel." So we get on the metro right into Paris. Everything was fine. We thought. And we're all carrying, all of us have one bag. We travel light. I think a couple of our kids had backpacks. But we have bags on wheels. What do you call those? Anyway.
I don't know. Bags on wheels.
Bags on wheels. So by the time we get off the metro, it's like probably 11:30 at night. And we thought we're just around the corner to our hotel when we get off. Turns out my wife read the map wrong, and we started walking and walking, and we could not find this hotel. And it 11:30 night became 12:30 night, and here we are walking at late at night, all six of us with our bags, just walking up and down the streets of Paris, completely. I mean, it wasn't that busy, believe it or not. I mean, there were certain sections of the city where it's very lively still, and restaurants are open and bars are open. But some of the streets, it was just deserted. And we were walking around in the middle of the night, all of us, and we're just completely exhausted. It was very hot and humid. This is in July. I remember the kids were just exhausted, and off in the distance you could see Napoleon's
statue.
Yeah, well, the big where his body is, his tomb.
His tomb, okay.
And it's a big, huge building. I don't remember the name of it, but there's a park or an open area that a corridor that you can see, literally probably several miles, and it's a beautiful sight. The building is all lit up, and there's a park, and there's people out in the park. And our kids just laid down there while my wife and I are trying to figure out, how to get to this place. I got out the GPS. I was still trying to figure it out. It was brand new, trying to figure out how to use it. Well, it turns out the kids basically gave up, and Sherry says, Brian, you go find this place and then come back and get us. We're done. We're done walking. So I says, okay. I left them there, and I said, don't move, because I'll never find you. I mean, we didn't have cell phones. I didn't know if they moved and went somewhere and I couldn't come back and find them, I was worried that, I'd lose them, and I didn't know how I'd find them. So I says, I left them there, and I took off, and I eventually found this place. I knock on the door. This guy answered, and it was locked. I tried to open it. It was completely locked, dark and everything. I knock on the door. A guy comes to the door and says, I says, I'm the guy that called. I need two rooms for six of us. He says, well, where are they? I says, I got to go back and get them. I'll be back in 20 minutes, and I'll come back with all of us. And that's exactly what we did. We finally made it.
How far away from the park was it from where they were?
It was probably about a half a mile. It wasn't that
still quite a ways.
Still, yeah.
Did you go straight there? Or did you were you wandering around trying to find it?
I had to wander around a little bit. I think I had a pretty good idea. It was down this street, and I found it.
Without too much trouble.
But, when you have six, five other people behind you and, young kids, and you can't move as quickly. And, my wife didn't trust the GPS. She thought it was taking us on a wild goose chase, and she wasn't so sure that her direct, she thought, she wasn't convinced that we got off on the wrong stop. And I was convinced that we had gotten off on the wrong bus stop or metro stop. But
so you got off on the wrong metro
stop. We got off on the wrong one. It was because we just couldn't read we didn't read it correctly, because I think your eyesight was, getting not as good as it used to be. So
now, do you carry a compass when you travel?
No.
I do.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Because it's hard to orient yourself sometimes on those maps.
Well, this GPS didn't work very well with these big, tall buildings.
No, you've got to have a
clear view. I didn't have a clear view vision.
But at the park, if you were at the park, then you did have a clear view.
Yeah. I mean, it worked on and off, but there was a couple times where I'd lose a signal. And my wife was convinced that we were walking around in circles. And I says, no, we're not. We're going the right direction. We just got off so far away. We ended up, we probably walked three miles or maybe more to get to the hotel. I mean, it was a long ways away. My wife says, we're walking around in circles. No, we're not.
So you finally made it to the hotel.
Finally made it. So
this is what, about 2 in the morning?
It was about 2 in the morning before we got there. So, all six of us, it wouldn't have been so bad, I think, but when you're with a large family, it makes it interesting. So anyway, it was a fun, and Paris is great. Fun time.
So that was the only highlight of the trip, was the uncomfortable experience, and everything else went too well for you then.
Yeah, it was.
That just comes back to my theory, Brian. Your best memories come from your most uncomfortable experiences.
Yeah, it was an adventure. And that's the fun thing of traveling. I'm against, not against, but I think it's a lot more enjoyable. You have a lot more experiences when you just kind of go and make it an adventure. If you have one of these tour guides taking you around and everything's scheduled ahead of time, and you know, we're going to stay at this hotel, and then at 10 o'clock we'll leave and for a new hotel, and the itinerary's all made out for you. It takes away from a lot of the fun. I mean,
it's the serendipity.
Yeah, it does. And part of the experience that you remember is when you kind of
things didn't go just like you planned.
Just like you planned. And so, hey, don't have any plans. That makes it a lot more enjoyable. Just go have fun. See what happens.
That's right. Now, you've traveled. What countries have you traveled to then? You've traveled a lot. Brian and I, in our office, we have a big map of the world. It takes up about 8 by 8 feet, probably about 10 by 8 feet on our wall. I'm looking at it right now. And my pins in the map are red, and Brian's are blue. So you spent a lot of time up in Alaska fishing,
mm-hmm.
Turkey, Paris.
Europe, I've been skiing in.
Oh yeah,
skiing in Europe
a
couple times.
A boys' trip skiing in Germany and Switzerland, didn't you?
Right, and that was a great time. We skied in Austria, Kitzbühel, Innsbruck, St. Anton, Wengen, Switzerland, which was just unbelievable. While we were in Kitzbühel, the highlight of that trip was the World Cup downhill was taking place, and it was so fun. And Kitzbühel is just an unbelievable place, and thousands of people there. And of course, in Europe, the downhill is like the Super Bowl here in America. I mean, it's a big deal, and literally, I would say tens of thousands of people were there to watch this event. And Kitzbühel just so happens to be the number one downhill
on the
World Cup tour. I mean, it's the one that everybody pays attention to. And so we happened to be there. My brother happens to know one of the U.S. ski team downhillers, Steve Nyman. He got us tickets right where family and friends of the skiers where they're at the event, and it's unbelievable. And we got free ski passes to Kitzbühel for 3 or 4 days, and it's unbelievable from him. And it was great. We had perfect snow conditions. I mean, it snowed a couple days, and we got powder snow. It was unbelievable. Great experience. Then we skied in Innsbruck and. Like I said, Wengen and St. Anton. The incredible thing about St. Anton is just how big it is. There's 13 ski resorts in Utah,
right.
And St. Anton, which is a sort of a network of ski resorts all together, but that one ski resort or network of ski resorts is bigger than all 13 ski resorts in Utah combined. It's
really
massive, unbelievable. But it was, and it's just beautiful. It's really
the Alps are just gorgeous.
Oh, they are.
They are
incredible. So, and I've also skied. I've been on another European ski trip and skied in Austria, Hintertux, which is a glacier. So we skied on a glacier, which was really fun. I did that by myself, and then I skied in southern Germany in a place called Spritzensee. A little small little resort in southern Germany, really beautiful, but in a fun place to ski. So